Joe C., Rick Ballew. We've got Ryan McGee from ESPN talking a little college ball inside the conference and then outside of the conference. You know, it's a fun time. It's still the middle of summer. It's hot as hell, but we're talking football. Ryan, how you doing, man?
I'm good. Yeah, this ain't hot. I live in Charlotte. I live about 15 minutes from here.
Right.
I just got off an airplane. I was in Oklahoma and Texas for the last 6 days. I went to Oklahoma State. I went to Norman. I went down to Austin. And the temperature, the gauge in my rental vehicle never went below 102.
Ooh.
And I was like, what in the – well, why would you even do – and they get the humidity like we do. So I'm like, you know what, forget that. But, no, but it's I'm starting to get excited now. Mm-hmm. You know, it's – you know, we talk about it and we – whatever, we kind of stumble through June. And now it's – when you guys show up in Charlotte, I know it's time to – it's about to get real.
Yeah, summer's gone.
Yeah, yeah.
Football is here. Ryan, has this come down to, again, the winner of the Noles and the Tigers? And, you know, that's the – that's the game right there. That's the team. Or do you see someone else jumping into the fray?
You know, I'm really anxious tomorrow to – like, Mark Richt is a guy that everything's kind of on his sleeve. I love him. I think he's great. And it was stunning to me, having covered so many SEC media days, it was stunning to me how loose he looked here a year ago.
I agree.
But he's looked happy. You know, and he deserves to be happy. You know, and so I'm really – curious to see where they are. I think of Virginia Tech. I think if the quarterback hadn't left, which everyone agreed was a really stupid decision, mm-hmm. I think that division will be done. But to answer your question, I think it will probably come down to that game. Though it's funny to me how nobody's really talking about Louisville. You know, in theory, the best player in the country's back, and he I thought he did a great job this morning, but nobody's kind of buzzing about that. But ultimately, I think it comes down to that game, and ultimately, too, I think it's Florida State because I think Clemson will take a little bit more. Dabo was right here saying, "I want to whisper."
Yeah.
I think Clemson will take a little bit of a step back, more of a step back than people think, mm-hmm. and that's natural.
Yeah,
they had the best player in the country, and he's gone now, and there's no way you don't take a step back from that just a little bit.
It's true, and you could say bridge the gap between a Jameis Winston to a DeAndre Francois,
right.
But they weren't quite sure they were going to have a guy, and he still didn't fill Jameis's shoes.
Yep.
We'll find out whether the Clemson quarterback can come close.
Well,
to the shot.
I'm going to steal that because that's the perfect example, and we've seen it in other places too. You know, Auburn, you know, with Cam Newton. There's just, when the player is that good. You know, he's the difference.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you've got a roster full of talented guys, but ultimately, you know, replacing the most talented guy is the biggest challenge. And listen, Clemson's going to be fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, but I've told – I went to high school down there. I've told everybody, you need to just buckle up because you're going to lose a couple, mm-hmm. and it's going to be fine. And you're still going to have a great year and just, you know, get ready for 2018.
We know the problems for Clemson, although Dabo Swinney moments ago told us he thinks he's going to have a better – defense than he had a year ago.
I agree with that.
Going to have a better offensive line than he had a year ago. What about Florida State? To me, their biggest question is the offense. You know, the consistency out of Francois. And despite Dalvin Cook the last 3 years, that offensive line in Tallahassee has really been bad.
Yeah, it has. But you've had the kind of skill player talent to kind of work around that. And so the question is, will they have that this year? I like Francois a lot. I remember going – my assignment for signing day the last 2 years has been in Tallahassee. And, you know, you're in the office all day, standing there tethered to a camera and just doing live shots all day. And you get – it's kind of a fly-on-the-wall thing. Everybody forgets you there,
mm-hmm.
and you kind of watch him come and go. And it's really been interesting watching Francois. And, you know, he was already signed and in the building when I was there, although he was technically part of that class 2 years ago. But it was really interesting watching him in the office – in the building, interacting with everybody, and it was already so natural. And you know, to me, that's the biggest tell that the guy's ready. You know, he can step in and be a leader, and no one's gonna be worried about that. You know, I was a student at Tennessee a million years ago, and Peyton Manning came in right after me. But I remember everybody talking about when he walked in the building. You know, there's that famous story where he first walked into the huddle, and the offensive lineman told him to shut up, call a play.
Yeah.
But the reality is, everybody knew as soon as he walked in the building. One day he's going to be the guy.
He's going to be the man.
And you could tell it with Francois. He'd been in the building, 5 weeks when I was on him. And already everyone was at ease with him. And so I like him a lot. I think that I'm really, really anxious to see how he and that other second-year quarterback down at Alabama do, you know, when we all go to Atlanta. No doubt.
It really is incredible when you think about those two guys in particular. You can throw Jacob Eason and a couple of other guys that were thrown in there. We're talking with Ryan McGee, ESPN. He does the Marty McGee podcast, a lot of other things, a great Twitter guy, and a lot of good stuff that you could follow him and learn from him. ACC, two of the last four titles reside in this conference. Yep. And like you said, you're based in Charlotte. It's almost like everyone had to defend the conference for a long time. Now they don't.
They don't. And, you know, we used to – this is my favorite media days. And it's not just because I grew up in the Carolinas. It's just I love the vibe here. It's chill. Hoover's kind of a corporate meeting. You know, Pac-12, we're at a movie studio. I mean, you know, this has a different, much different vibe. And so it wasn't that long ago we were at Pinehurst, you know, just down the road. And I remember John Swofford coming in, like today, on the first morning – and having to field questions for an hour and a half about the collapse of the conference. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be swallowed up by the Big East. This is right before the last round of realignment. And are you going to be able to keep Clemson and Florida State from going to the SEC? And are you going to be able to keep the old Big East schools from going back to the Big East? I mean, that's what the conversation was. Yeah. And what John Swofford said that day was, listen, this is very simple. We have to win the big games. We have to win Labor Day weekend, and we have to win New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. That's it. He said, once we do that, you will be shocked at how it will change the perception of the conference. And that fall, we had the last BCS title game, and Florida State, in the last minute with Jameis, you know, won the national championship. And overnight, it changed. And then Clemson, you know, made everybody forget about the Orange Bowl, and all of a sudden they're in the playoff. But he was absolutely right. And once – you know, Georgia Tech starts beating Georgia, and Florida State starts beating Florida, and Clemson, you know, ends the skid against South Carolina. It's amazing. It really is. What a difference that it made. So 5 years later, here we sit, and I was out in Big 12 country for the last 6 days, and the conversation out there is, what can we do to catch the ACC?
Never would have thought of that.
It's unbelievable. And so it really is remarkable how much things have changed in a relatively short period of time.
All right, you got the five or six schools that everyone thinks will be part of the college football playoff, the same old, same old. Give me this year's Washington or this year's Penn State, a couple of teams that are top 25 but you really think can make a run.
Oklahoma State. I was just out there. I was with Mike Gundy on Tuesday morning, I'm a man. I'm 40, turns 50 in a couple weeks. That's the story I'm going to write. And we also talked about his mullet and all that other stuff. But the reality is, they are going to score 55 points a game. And they're going to be so.
How much will they give up?
Well, that's just it. But I think, you know, to win that league, okay, you know, I'll give up 35 points a game. And I think they know that. They know it's bend don't break. You're going to break some, you know, break on occasion, you know, but the rest of the time you need to bend. And so it's, I think they have a chance to make a run. I think that Bedlam, which, by the way, this year is not Thanksgiving weekend.
Oh, really?
They've moved it up a few weeks.
Okay.
The conference did that on purpose because they're pretty confident that those two teams are going to play again in the newly you know, revived Big 12 championship game. So I think that Oklahoma State is a team that we got all our preseason. I went to the beach last week and bought all my preseason magazines, right? And you see Oklahoma State kind of hovering, you know, in the high double digits, and I think they're going to get your attention early, and they're going to be so much better offensively than anyone they play, and I'll put Oklahoma in that group. Baker Mayfield is great
versus Rudolph,
but Baker Mayfield unfortunately has got to break in another group of freshman wide receivers and another group of freshman running backs, whereas Mason Rudolph, who's from just down the road here in Rock Hill, South Carolina. By the way, all these SEC and ACC schools don't have a quarterback.
Yeah.
And the guy that might be going number one in the draft is from Rock Hill, which is 20 minutes south of here, and he's playing in Stillwater.
That is wild when you think about it. We were talking to Dabo Swinney earlier, and Rick's having fun because he's a Florida State grad. He's like, stay out of Florida, please.
Yeah.
Please. So it is incredible that these guys, they kind of go intersectional. Some of them just like a change of scenery. They just want to go somewhere else.
And that's, you know, in the case of Rudolph, you know, he got his feelings hurt. You know, he grew up a North Carolina guy. His family, every Saturday, to load up and go up to Chapel Hill and go to games, they won't even look at him. You know, and here's Fedora, right? Mm-hmm. You know, he's going to be here tomorrow. This is a former Oklahoma State offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
And he was on the day of the I'm a man, I'm 40 thing. And so, yeah, a lot of teams are kicking themselves, but he's motivated, man. Mason Rudolph's got that written down, like, all right, you know, you didn't want me and you didn't want me and you didn't want me. Well, I'll be playing in January when you're done.
Give us a quick thought on just who you think will be playing. Who will be in the four?
I think that the loser of the Alabama-Florida State game is going to be okay, because I think you can recover. You know, we've been shown the roadmap now by Ohio State. You can if the game you lose is a big enough game, and maybe not even a big enough game. Oklahoma, when they lost to Texas,
Alabama definitely. What if Alabama put up a Louisville score on Florida State? Can they recover if they win the next 13?
They can, but they're going to have to really take care of business. Hey, Coach.
Steve
Adazio just said they're going to have to really take care of business. And so, I think that the makeup, the scramble won't be quite what it is for one school that it is for the other.
Yeah. No, it's going to be interesting. I mean, what a way to kick off the college football season. Arguably the greatest kickoff in the history of the game.
Yeah, well, last year, at ESPN, we kept promoting greatest opening weekend in the history of college football. And it was. I mean, the games were cross board. But this year, there's one game that's better than any of the ones we had last year. So I think it absolutely could be one of the biggest games. I'm old enough to remember the kickoff classic, right? Going up to the Meadowlands and watching Florida State and Kansas and Jack Root sweating through his suit and all that. My dad was a referee in that game one year. And I remember just thinking, why are we here on Labor Day weekend? Back then, it was one or two guys. I drove to Colorado as a student at Tennessee to watch Tennessee tie Colorado in 1990. Back then, it was one game. Well, now what a time to be alive, all these games we got over.
Yeah, I was a sophomore at Florida State, and the biggest game then they were pumping up was, number one, number two, Florida State at Miami, Orange Bowl. Miami beat them 31-0.
Yeah.
I just hope, you just came off of an unbelievable bowl season. Yeah. I mean, that Penn State-USC game, and, of course, Clemson, what they did against Alabama. I think that's all college football fans want in that matchup is a great game.
Just a good game. It's like the national championship. I don't care if it's Clemson, Alabama, or whoever it is. As long as it's a good game, I don't care who's in it.
Hey, Ryan, thank you.
Yeah, anytime, fellas.
Do appreciate Marty it. McGee podcast, right?
Yeah, 7 to 9 a.m. on ESPN Radio. It's the dumbest show on radio, and they keep letting us do it.
Hey, you're the man.
Dumb works on radio.
Yeah.
Appreciate it very much.
Appreciate it, guys.
All right.